this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, and I'll be starting reading from verse 42 to the end of the chapter. It's entitled The Fellowship of the Believers. The believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved.
Thank you, Alison. We've been doing a series on basic Christianity. Today is the last week of that series when we're looking at being part of the church. At the beginning of our service, when Matt was talking about it, he was looking at the question, what is church? And he was going back to the original wording. So let's have a quick look at that. Originally, in the word church, it actually didn't appear in the first biblical translation of the Bible. The Wycliffe Bible, back in the 1500s, used the word congregation rather than church. It was only later that the word was translated into church. And when it first came out in English, well, the English word generally that we use went back to a Greek word, and it went back to, not ecclesia, it went back to Kyriakos, which actually means the Lord's house, which is probably why we've got this idea of the church being a building, because it referred to the building, the Lord's house. But the original New Testament word that was used for, that meant the congregation, that meant the church, that original translation that we see there, is what Matt talked about before. It's a gathered assembly to be called out together for a purpose. So it's God's people, not the building, as Matt was pointing out in his first thing. It's God's people coming together, called out together for a purpose, and that purpose being for God, to do something for God. That's what the church is. Can you be a Christian on your own? Yes, but not advisable, it said here. Yes, but not advisable. Well, that's probably true. Yes, you can be a Christian and not go to church, but is that what God wants? No. No, the church was about people coming together. God wanted to build his church. We'll be talking about this as we go through today. God wants to build his church. It was important. God is a relational God. He wants us to relate together. He wants us to work and be together and by our love for one another, show others that we're his disciples and so on. That's what we're going to be looking at a bit today, because I want to get over the fact that although you can be a Christian, although you can be saved and have repented of your sin and turned to God and have decided that you want to live for God, the trueness and fulfilledness of that would be that as you are living for the will of God, you are part of the church and you are an active part of the church meeting with other believers. So yes, in technical sense, you can be a Christian, but in its fullness, you can't really, because to be fully committed to what God wants would be to be part of his church. Do you understand what I mean? So we'll be going through it. What is that purpose that we're called together for? To express what it means to be God's children, to be children of God, to share the gospel, and to make disciples. That's what he called us to do. He called the church to make disciples. That's why a lot of what they had before was these open doors, wanting to be light out there. It's not all about in here. It's about how we affect out there as well. But we come together and gather together to worship God. But it's important. The church is out there as well, as we go out and spread that news as a body together. So in the Old Testament, God dwelt in a temple. Now the Jews knew that God was everywhere, but they felt that he particularly manifested himself in, or particularly his presence was in the temple in Jerusalem. So they would come all over to come to Jerusalem, where there was the Holy of Holies and where God's presence was particularly centered, if you like. That was a house that was built for God to dwell in a sense. But they knew he was everywhere, but that was where his particular presence was, in that place. In the New Testament, we move away from God dwelling in his temple to God dwelling in his people. A significant shift. After Jesus came, God's dwelling became his people. And we read in Ephesians 2, verse 21 to 22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we are where God dwells by his Spirit in us, and we are the church of God together, the family of God together. Church, do you spell church with a small c or a capital C? Small c or capital C? Hands up for capital C. Hands up for small c. We've got a mixture. Well, you're both right, because you're right over here. It depends which church we're talking about. Okay, so capital C, when we put a capital C at the beginning of church, we're talking about the worldwide church. We're talking about the church as a whole. This is the only English grammar lesson you'll ever get from me, with so many teachers in the congregation. When we're talking about the worldwide church, the whole church of God, which includes Indonesia, Christians, which includes Christians around the world and all over Britain, then we're talking with a capital C, is the worldwide church. All true Christians, all born again Christians, are part of God's family. They are part of the church of God. The small c is the local church. That's a local gathering of believers that would come together, and groups of Christians that commit to meeting together. So that's where you would use the smaller c sense. Or, of course, in the name, if you're putting Central Baptist Church Chelmsford, with a small c. Have I got this wrong? I've got teachers giggling.
But on the worldwide, you need a capital C.
Oh, you do, yeah. All right. Forget that grammar lesson. Thank you. What else have we got to do with church? Baptism. We've got baptism. Baptism, when someone is baptized, they are being baptized into that capital C. They are being baptized into the worldwide church of God. They become part of God's family. So you're part of the church of God. When you become a member of a church, you're becoming a member of a local church. Hey? Oh, he's just changed it. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. But I'm waiting for the next slide now, mate. There we go. Right. Give it up. When we come to membership, we're committed to the local church. That's what membership is about, committing to a local church. Because, you know, some people say, well, we don't need membership because membership isn't in the Bible. It isn't in the Bible. What is in the Bible is, in effect, is membership to the church of God. It doesn't say it as such that way, but you become a member of God's family when you become a Christian. So you are a member of the worldwide church, in a sense, and baptism is a way of expressing that coming into the worldwide church of God. But membership can be about belonging to a local fellowship. Not all local churches do membership in that way. They have different kind of ways of doing it. But in our church, in the Baptist church, we say, yes, we want to identify with this local church family. We want this to be our home church. And so we become a member of it. Like you might become a member of another group or organization. It's that kind of thing. But you become a member of our church. And it gives you the opportunity to have a say into the life of the church. We have something called members' meetings here, which are an opportunity to come along, to hear about some things that are going on, to just have an input into that discussion and shape various decisions and so on as well. But it kind of be a bit more involved in that way. So that's membership, when you're committed to a local church. Of course, there's different denominations we need to talk about when we talk about church. And the biggest difference, of course, when we talk about church today is Catholic and Protestant. And the Catholic Church, which was the original church. It wasn't until about 500 years ago, the Reformation took place, where the Catholic Church wasn't the only church anymore. There was the Protestant Church as well. Martin Luther came and he didn't want to come out of the Catholic Church. He wanted to reform the Catholic Church. He wanted to change some of the way it had gone. He kind of felt it had gone a bit like some of the Pharisees and had made lots of rules and so on. And the Jews, you know, when Jesus came and Jesus was a bit critical of all the religiousness of the Jews at the time, of the Jewish faith at the time, and he was critical of some of the religiousness that had crept in along the way, and some of the things today are a little bit like that still. For example, here's one. I don't know whether you knew or not, but you're not meant to travel on the Lord's Day. You're not meant to travel very far. There's only a certain distance you're allowed to travel in for Jews, unless you're travelling over water, because they've now allowed for plane travel. So if you're travelling over water, it's okay, you can go further. But on land, you're only allowed to travel so far. That's a man-made rule, because going too far is work. So that's the rule. So some people have tried to get over this. I know of one guy, one Jew, that puts a bottle of water under his car seat and drives. This is absolutely true. And there are these kind of things that come in that become quite religious. Dr. Martin Luther felt as though the Catholic Church was also becoming a bit too religious, and it was something to do with the different rules and things that were there, and the different church traditions that were being escalated to, that were being treated as high as Scripture, as high as the Bible, in a sense, and the Gospels and so on. And so he was concerned about this. And the fact that it was becoming about faith and works a little bit, certain things that people had to do as well. And so because of this, he wanted to reform it, but there was battle and trouble, and eventually we had the Protestant Church came out of that. The Protestant Church over time has fragmented many times, and we now have thousands of Protestant denominations, literally. The Baptist is just one of them. United Reformed, Salvation Army, the Anglican Church, the Methodist Church, and so on and so forth. There's many of them, and all the different groups that don't call themselves denominations, but Vineyard and New Frontiers, and all different groups. And each one of these has a different expression, a different way of doing church, different governance structures and so on, but all would be broadly, all a Christian, all believe in Jesus as being the way to God. So they're all Christian churches, just expressed in different ways. The Catholic Church perhaps different to the Protestant Church in some of its, in a bigger way. But these Protestant denominations all have these different ways of doing church and sharing ideas. Some would say that the Catholic Church is not truly Christian because of the different rules and the different ways that it has gone. I am not going to get into that this morning. But we've got a Q&A time tonight. But it's a big question. So that's that one. A New Testament church model. The passage that we read in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we read about this model for church, where the church was, what was the church doing? It was teaching, there was fellowship, there was meals together, there was prayer, there was sharing of goods and resources with each other so no one was in need. There was witnessing, and people were being drawn into it. And that is a great model for church, for what church was meant to be. It's God's family together. Now here are, very quickly, 10 reasons why I think it's important to be part of the church. 10 reasons for being part of a church and involved in church. 10 reasons why I don't think we can do Christianity on our own, or should do, and why we should be meeting together. So here we go. 1, to fulfill God's will. Ephesians 5:25 says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ has given himself up. He died, and one of the things he wanted to do was bring people together. Bring a family together. This was what it was all about. It wasn't just about individual salvation. It was about bringing a people, a family together in him. I will build my church, he said, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. It's his family. Any parent will want their family to get on. Is that true? He'll want us to get on. He'll want us to meet together. We're made relational like him. Do you know people need relationship, want relationship? I know some people say they don't and they're quite happy on their own. And we all need our own time, our space. But we are made relationally. Why are pubs so popular? Because it's not just about the drink, it's about people getting together and socializing and not being on their own, being able to meet with other people. We need community. We are made in God's image and God is relational and we need to be relational and we need community in some sense. That's how we're made. That's what God intended. And he intended that for his people as well, for them to be together. And it expresses more what Jesus has achieved in bringing all people. Remember, there's no Greek, no Jew, no male, no female, no black, no white. We're all just family together in Christ. This is what he's done. He's brought us to any age, any nationality, we can be together as family. And that can only truly be expressed when we come together and gather together in this way. So he expresses everything that Jesus has achieved in bringing us together. You know, there's not many places you can go, many things too, where all the different ages and people come together and can spend time together in this way. There's not that many places in society where that happens in a corporate way like this. It's special something that church has like this. Okay, number two, to follow a biblical pattern. Hebrews 10:25 said, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Even then, some people, back in biblical times, back in the early church, some people got into the habit of, well, we don't need to get to church, it's fine. We don't need to meet together, it's okay. We can do this on our own. But Paul says, let's not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And they continue to meet together daily in the temple courts. Just be thankful. We don't ask you to come to church every day. But what they did was they continued to break bread in their homes regularly as well. They got together and had meals together. They were family. They expressed family in that way together. Number three. To learn and grow. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and to preaching and teaching. Now, this was to Timothy. He was being told to devote himself to the public reading of Scripture, to teaching and preaching. He can only do that if people are together, can't he? And so there's meant to be a gathering of people, and this was important. Timothy was meant to be doing this. Four, to break bread together. On three as well, Paul teaches spiritual gifts are given to build up the church. That's being together. So spiritual gifts are there for use within the church to build up the body. And we do that when we're together and use those gifts with each other. So there's meant to be that context. Four, to break bread together, 1 Corinthians 11:33. So then, brothers, when you come together to eat, there's an expectation there we're going to come together to eat together. To share in communion together. Number five, to join in corporate praise. Psalm 149 verse 1, sing to the Lord praise in the assembly of the saints. There's an expectation that always has been that God's people will come together to praise him. Number six, to join others in prayer. Matthew 18 verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. Yes, so it can be smaller groups as well. It doesn't have to be 200 or 300 people, it can be smaller groups, but it's about getting together with other believers. These are important things. It's not meant to be something we do on our own. Number seven, to be a greater witness. John 13, verse 35 says, all people will know we're Jesus' disciples by our love for one another. How can we express that, our love for one another, unless we show that to each other in some way? And that means we need to be able to be together to show that love to each other. And because of that, that's a witness. That passage we read in Acts chapter 2 was a witness because of the unity that people saw. And because of the love they had for one another, it said something to people outside of the church, and many were added to their number because of the love and the way that they were sharing together. Okay, number eight, to help play our part. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part. In Romans 12, it says, we form one body and each member belongs to the others. So as a body, we function together. We all need to bring our different parts. If you're an ear and you stay away, we're missing an ear. We're meant to come together. We're meant to work together as a body together. To support one another is number 9. Philippians 4:14. Paul says, it was good of your church to give and share in my trouble. That was a church getting together to share with Paul his need and to support him in his ministry. It says in Galatians 6:10, let us do good especially to our own family of believers. Do you know, we do a lot of mission work. Not just us, but the world does a lot of mission work. How many charities are there in the world? Lots, yes? Lots of charities doing lots of good work in the world. How many charities specifically support Christians? And who is likely to give to those charities that specifically support other Christians, other members of our family, brothers and sisters, in different places? Do you think it's more likely to be Christians that specifically support Christians? It probably is, isn't it? And actually, do you realise that that's more important than your giving to other charities that don't support Christians? That's biblical. That's what this verse is about. But not that one, the one I read. Paul is saying, let us do good, especially to our own family of believers, because by our love for one another, people will see there's something special here. By the way that you give to one another, support one another, when one of you is in need, you're helping them. Whether it's in our own church, whether it is in our own country, whether it is around the world, as they see that expressed in that way. We're the only ones going to do that. Just as an aside, we're the only ones that are going to give to anything that's evangelistic and trying to share Jesus with people. Non-Christians aren't going to do that. They'll give a lot of money to charity because everyone wants to do good deeds. Lots of people want to do good work. But the only people who are going to give money to charities or organisations that are going to spread the gospel are going to be Christians. So when you're thinking about where you should prioritise your giving as Christians, you know, when they've got Comic Relief on the telly or Band-Aid or all these other things and people are giving money towards it, it's all good, and I'm not saying don't do it, but please, please, please don't do that at the expense of not prioritising your giving to things that are going to be sharing the gospel and to the needs of your own brothers and sisters, because that's biblical. That's the most important thing on God's heart. Remember last week, the most important thing on God's heart is that sharing that good news and people becoming Christians. Their spiritual needs, where they spend eternity, rather than just their physical needs. Doesn't make the other things less not important. They're still important. We need to care for one another and those outside the church as well. And we can show God's love in that way, of course. But let's remember that in terms of our giving. And when we give to the church, we as a church need to be reflecting that as well in the way that we use. As you bring your gifts to the church, we need to reflect that in the way that we're using those gifts. And finally, to stay accountable, Matthew 18, verse 17 says, if he sins and refuses to listen to you, tell it to the church. Acts 20, Paul says, be shepherds of the church, which he bought with his blood. There's this accountability thing. There's this within the church, us, you know, making sure that we do challenge each other if our behaviour is moving away from God, if we're sinning. It says, go yourself and tell the person, then get two or three others, and then if need be, bring the whole church. How often do we practice that in church life? Oh, that's heavy shepherding. We shouldn't be doing that kind of thing, not in our church. It's biblical, guys. This is about accountability as family together and challenging each other. Would you do it in your own family if you felt that your sons or daughters were going offline a bit? You would, but you'd do it in love and you'd give the free. At the end of the day, they're going to make, but there's you want to teach and you want to do that. And that within church is important as well. It's important we do challenge each other and encourage each other, but in a positive way. And so all of this is part of church life and reasons to be part of the church. You know, the disciples established the churches, and then Paul visits all the churches and writes to all the churches. And in Revelation, God speaks to the churches. The church is really important. The church is really on God's heart. And the church exists, one, for our benefit, to teach us, disciple us, for fellowship and to share communion, to pray together, to support. The church exists for God's glory. It's a celebration of our oneness through Christ as we join in corporate worship together. The church exists for the world's sake, so that we can be a greater witness in the world by our unity and our love for one another and by going out, being equipped to go out. And the mission opportunities it creates that we can do corporately together that we couldn't do individually the same way. And to be salt and light. Imagine a barbecue. Anyone got a barbecue at home? Anyone tried to light a barbecue and keep it burning with one piece of coal? Would it work? Not very long, not really. You need lots of pieces of coal. And yes, you can be a piece of coal by yourself, but if you want to really be on fire, if you want to really make a difference, if you want to do what your purpose is fully, you need to be together with other pieces of coal. Because that enables you to be far more effective than an individual piece of coal. That's what the church is about. When we come together and we can be more effective as the body of Christ together. The church is a family. It's God is our Father and he wants us to be as one. The church is a body. We're part of the body of Christ. Each play a part. And the church is a bride. Jesus calls the church to be his bride. He's coming back for his bride, he says. And do we want to be a beautiful bride for him? Do we want to be a holy bride for him? Do we want to be full of stains and wrinkles? Or do we want to try and get ourselves washed and clean for him? He's going to take us as his bride anyway. But would we like to be the best bride we can be for him? Yes. So we need to look at these things and we need to be challenging one another. We need to be working at being the best we can be as his church, so that we can give the best glory to him possible as his family. We want to please him as our dad. We want him to be pleased with his family and the way we relate together and get on together. All these things are important. Here's a picture. The Blob Church. Some of you may have seen this before. It's an older picture. I wonder if you were looking at that picture, which blob person you would be. Can you see the little finger behind the church there going like that? There's someone hiding behind the church telling people come behind the bike sheds, that looks like, doesn't it? But I don't think there's a bike shed there. There's someone here that's rather bored and stagnant, I think, with the web on over his head. There's people that aren't getting on, falling out over there. All different kinds of people. Someone banging their head against a brick wall. I wonder which one you'd be. You know, we're all different, and we're all probably in different places in the church, but we're all family together, and we want to make our dad proud. And I think here's a few just final things. It's your church. It's God's church, but it's our church here. And the best way to really feel part of church is to be practically involved in church. I think I would encourage you to get involved in church. And many of you are already, which is great. But if you're not and you're kind of more on the outskirts and kind of just drift in and out now and again, then I want to encourage you. I'm probably not speaking to all the right people here. It's probably other people, unless you're one of those that's just come in today and we're not going to see you for 3 or 4 weeks, you know, and anything else. But we need to spread this word, try and encourage people with this, to be practically involved. Whether it's a ministry, like helping with in the band or catering or visiting people or helping with the tea and coffee or whatever, play your part. That's what family's about. Play a part in that. Play your part as the church family and help with that way. If you're not sure what to do, come and see me or come and see one of the other leaders and let's talk about what you can offer or what the gaps are and we can fill you in. In the new year, there's going to be lots of opportunities opening up for people. And we'll probably have a board downstairs that will show you all the different things you can be involved in. So when you see that, get involved in what you can. Come and help us in the church. So be involved in the ministry, in a small group. We're wanting to do something with small groups in the new year, start a lot of new different types of groups as well. So we're looking at that at the moment, but there's some exciting plans ahead with that, which we hope that some of you will be able to connect with. And we're obviously doing social events. Come and be involved and get to know and be with your family more. Be genuinely committed, whether that's becoming a member or attending a bit more regularly at the church or giving, if you don't give at the moment. The church, you know, we gave our gifts before. This church exists by the gifts of its people that you bring in. And we keep some of it to run the church here and do what we're able to do. But we also use some of it to give away to help support others in mission work as well around the world. So give, pray for us, pray for the church, pray for your church family here. And be a positive participant. Come to church with a positive attitude. That's what we'd ask. Come to church with a positive attitude. Come to focus on loving God, on loving other people. Come, you know, some people bring a... Sometimes, maybe even this morning, you're sitting here thinking, oh, this is a bit boring this morning. I tell you what, if you find sermons a bit boring sometimes, okay, this is a good way to not make them as boring. Have a pen and paper and make a few notes as you're doing it. It keeps you awake. It does. And what you'll find is you're taking a key point from it. You won't get it all. You'll drift it through somewhere, but you'll take some key points from it. It'll keep you awake. Remember university days, those of you at university? It can be helpful. So you don't have to do that, but it can be helpful. Come with a positive attitude. What can I get from this morning? I'll make a few notes as I go through. It'll keep me awake. And try and bring something positive to it in worship and try and take something from it positive for yourself. The church fails at times. We sometimes let each other down. But let's not give up on God. Some people walk away from the church and walk away from God because of something that happens in church that they fall out over or they don't agree with and they walk away. Don't give up on God ever. It's not his fault. We're people. But don't give up on his church either, because we are people and we do mess up. Ministers mess up. People mess up. We do hurt each other at times. Families hurt each other at times, don't they? But let's not make that the end of it. Let's keep working at this and our relationships and be family and be a family that our Father God can be proud of, can be pleased with. A bride that he can come back for, that he's really thrilled with. Lord, we thank you that you made us family. And we ask that you'll help us to be family, to be your church and all you called us to be in all its fullness. Help each one of us to play our part, an effective part, and help us to be effective as a church in being a witness and sharing for you in this city, that we can be good news to those around us. And indeed, that light can spread around the world through the gifts that we give and through the places that we go. In your name, amen.